Let's get to the Home Run In Hotline. Home Run In Pizza. Try Chicago's number one selling frozen pizza today. And there we have the Comcast SportsNet analyst, Kendall Gill. Kendall, how are you this morning?
All right. How you doing, guys?
I got to tell you, that is a really tough game to watch. And part of it being that the Bulls kind of got out-bowled. You know, they got a team there that played their style of play. They cared. They made possessions count. And the Bulls are giving the ball. I know Derrick Rose was ill, and I know that Deng's hurt and that Rip Hamilton's out and everything. But the fact of the matter is, my God, you can't give teams not just turnovers, but breakaway points. I mean, dunks and layups and
like Molly said, it was almost shots. Like you were giving them the outlet pass on those turnovers.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, they had 29 points off the turnovers last night, and that's something that you can't do, especially against a young, aggressive, up-and-coming team like the 76ers they're trying to prove something. You know, they're trying to prove that they belong at the top amongst the top teams in the East. I mean, you have to look at these guys. They played Miami in a tough series last year in the playoffs, and you know, with another year of being together, they've improved. And you know, if you're the Bulls, you have to understand, listen, we're one of the top dogs in the East. Everybody's going to bring their A game every night against us, so we have to be prepared for that. And you know, I know that Rip Hamilton is out, I know that Luol Deng is out. Yes, that's two starters. However, the other guys have to step up, and you know, your focus has to be all even better than a regular game because of the guys that are out. You know, you have to step your game up.
And that's the thing, Kendall. I'm screaming at my TV, and you're the voice of the people saying, you know, what the hell are you doing in either language when with Carlos Boozer? But I know they're 18-6, and earlier in the season, Casey Johnson, our buddy, said, you know, people are nitpicking this team and finding flaws with a team that's pretty damn good. But now the Bulls are 6-5 against teams with a winning record. And all the injuries are piling up, and we don't know what Luol Deng is going to give you from here on out, or Rip Hamilton for that matter. We know, unfortunately, what Carlos Boozer is going to give you, because I think that's the guy. You know, what you see is what you get. So should we be concerned? I mean, is this roster good enough, even when Rip and Luol come back, as healthy as they can come back, is this going to be good enough to get through the Heat?
I think it will be, but the thing is, I don't know if you can play Carlos Boozer in critical times when you need stops. You know, I don't know what it is with Carlos. You know, I love him when his offense is clicking and everything, but if his offense isn't clicking, then really on the defensive end, he becomes a liability to you. And this is not anything new. I mean, this is we saw this last year, you know, especially in the series against Miami. You know, Mark Schanowski and I said, you know, we were very critical of Carlos last year. And we said, okay, we're going to give Carlos a break. We're not going to talk about Carlos Boozer unless he has blatant disregard for defense this year. Well, last night was that night. You know, and you cannot continue to play like this defensively if you're going to get past the Miami Heat, if you're going to win a championship. And, you know, I said, you know, I was going to relax on my comments until I saw his teammates' reactions. Well, I saw the teammates' reactions yesterday on defensive lapses by Carlos. Also in the game, I think that was Sunday that they played Miami, the Miami Heat. One play specifically, Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah were in the pick and roll. Chris Bosh rolled right down the lane. Carlos Boozer didn't come over to help. They scored on that basket, and Joakim Noah was looking at Carlos like, "What?"
Yeah,
what
anytime
scoring,
you
want Carlos?
To join the group, help. Yeah.
Yeah, anytime you want to join a group, I help out, man. You know, and I know that these guys are, and I, you know, this was true when I played. If you have four guys out there busting their butts, and that fifth guy doesn't rotate, and you've played a hard defensive series, and all he needs to do is rotate, and you stop that basket, that gives your team's confidence. It builds your teammates' confidence in you. If that continues to happen where you don't come over and stop the other guy, your teammates lose confidence in you.
He's Kendall Gill. You're listening to Mully and Haley on The Score. And, you know, look, the fact that we know who the guy is, and he's going to be able to score points. You know, his best games have been against Charlotte and Detroit and Phoenix, I think. And again, in their losses, he averages about 13 points a game. What I don't understand is does his offense just come against teams that don't have much of an interior presence? And there are a lot of them in the league. And then his defense is fueled by that? Is that what it is? Is his defense, when he does make an effort, come only when he's doing well on the other side of the other end?
Yeah, I think also, too, he needs help offensively in order to get the ball in positions. You know, when Rip Hamilton plays, Rip Hamilton is a godsend for Carlos Boozer because he can run the pick and roll with him. You have another option where you're not concentrating on Derrick Rose. And, you know, when he scores big, you can see him. He's diving off of the pick and roll with Rip Hamilton or Derrick Rose. See, last night they only have really two scorers on the floor, that being Carlos Boozer and Derrick Rose. Well, when Lou Aldang is out there, when Rip Hamilton is out there, and when Derrick Rose is out there, now you have three or four guys that can score the basket. Now the defense isn't concentrating on Carlos Boozer, and he's now relegated to shooting those jump shots, which we saw him shoot all night last night. I didn't see him have one play on the block. I thought he was a low post guy. He needs to get down on the block. Now, when those guys are on the floor defensively, the other team can't concentrate on him. That's what you saw last night.
And, Kendall, if you're Gar Paxson, if you're Gar Foreman, John Paxson, what do? You have 6 weeks to the trade deadline. You know, assuming the long shot and the wish list of Dwight Howard is really not reality, what do you add here, not knowing what Rip Hamilton and Lou Aldang are going to be in the playoffs? And you have limited cap room to work with, too, and maybe that's going to be eaten up by Joel Prisbilla.
Yeah, you are limited, and I've heard the same rumors about Prisbilla as you guys. I think that you add Joel Prisbilla. I think that you need another big guy. You know, unfortunately, you know, we couldn't keep Kurt Thomas, which I thought was a key part of last year's team, and Kurt is doing the same thing out in Portland. I'm still playing great basketball. You know, we need another guy like that. Hopefully Prisbilla can come in and fill Kurt's shoes, because we need another monster down there, you know, another big guy that's not afraid to do all the dirty work.
I got to be honest with you. I look at, you know, it's we kind of hold the Bulls to this standard where we expect them to play well every night, and you know, it's they have a loss like that, and you just scratch your head. But Kendall, that one felt a little different, and it felt different because there was just, as I said, that these turnovers were more like outlet passes for your opponent, and they were running the floor, and those fast break points, whatever it was, you said the number. I think the Bulls had four fast break points, so it was completely lopsided, and that makes it look, I know Derrick Rose was ill, but it makes it look like they're not winning the hustle game and the try-hard game and the things that have gotten them to this point.
Right, exactly. You know, and you guys said it earlier, they played themselves last night. They sort of looked themselves in the mirror and got outplayed by the mirror in the 76ers, because that's the way we're used to seeing the Chicago Bulls playing. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, Kendall, you're always on Carlos Boozer. You never criticize Derrick Rose. Well, I can criticize Derrick Rose. And some, Derrick needs to take care of the basketball better. You know, it all starts with the point guard in his turnovers. Sometimes Derrick has a lot of careless turnovers, and, you know, that comes with age, that comes with maturity, and learning how to take care of the basketball. And, you know, when you have the turnovers that you continue to have, you know, that all starts with the guy that's handling the basketball, and that's one thing that Derrick does need to work on.
One of our texters earlier in the show, Kendall, said, you know, why does Kyle Korver get a pass? And maybe Kyle ought to, you know, cut a check to Carlos Boozer every week, because he does kind of skate underneath or fly underneath the radar because everyone's piling up on Carlos. But obviously Kyle Korver hasn't been the player they wanted or identified when they signed him.
Well, no, if you go back to the show yesterday, I said that Kyle Korver needs to play better defense,
yeah,
too. He got
right.
beat two or three times by Andre Iguodala, and the texter is right. You know, Kyle Korver is limited defensively, but at least he tries, okay? That's the one thing that he will do. He will put forth the effort to try and stop somebody. I think that's the difference between Carlos Boozer and Kyle Korver, you know. And the thing, I can live with a guy who tries, you know. But, you know, you put Kyle Korver up against Iguodala, he's going to get beat every time. But at least he's putting forth the effort.
While we have you on the phone, I got to ask you, I'm sure you saw Herb Gould's column in the Sun-Times the other day. One of my great experiences in sports writing was covering your Flying Illini team all the way from the beginning of the season to Seattle for the Final Four. And here we go, Bruce Weber feeling the heat. They, you know, they beat Michigan State, you know, luckily or thankfully the other night, but it's not good enough when you have one NCAA win in the last 5 years and missed the tournament twice. And now people down in Champaign are banging the drum. It's time for a change. Where do you fall when you talk about Bruce Weber?
Well, you know, I'm very good friends with Bruce Weber. I think that, you know, you have to see his contract through. Yes, I know that he's only had one NCAA win, and, you know, a lot of people are calling for a change. But I think you have to still give him one more year, let this recruiting class go through, that being Brandon Paul, DJ Richardson's recruiting class, and see what happens. And, you know, I'm in agreement with them. Something needs to happen big. I'm hoping that happens either this year or next year, where we advance really far in the NCAA tournament. But, you know, I think that the fans are right. You know, unfortunately, the time is running out where there may have to be a change made.
What's interesting about it, I think, is that you guys all went kind of en masse. You had the best players out of Illinois, the Chicago area, going there. Now you look around the landscape of college basketball, and I know guys don't stick around a long time, but Kansas has made great strides in the Chicago area and in Illinois. You know, look at Kentucky right now. You know, they've got that kid Anthony Davis from Chicago area. You know, obviously Derrick Rose played for Calipari, albeit at Memphis. I mean, you know, you got to recruit. You got to get this
done. Your backyard,
done.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true. I mean, back when I was in high school, everything that grew out of the state of Illinois went to either Illinois or DePaul. You know, and I don't know where along the line that, you know, we miss recruiting in our own backyard. But, I mean, if you look at the players that have left the state of Illinois that could have gone to Illinois or DePaul or somewhere in state, you know, it's incredible. You know, you look at Sharone Collins that went to Kansas, Shire that went to Duke, you know, Derrick Rose that goes to Memphis. You know, we can't let that type of talent leave our home state. I mean, if we have those guys, we're competing for a national championship almost every year. You know, so one of the things that, I don't know, maybe we have to hire Jimmy Collins back at Illinois to be the recruiter.
Well, that's it. Lou used to pull out the dinner napkin and draw the state of Illinois, you know, the borders, and say, look, all these, you know, Michigan's coming in, they're trying, Indiana's trying to come in, and we never go out, you know, and they draw the arrows out. We don't go out, we stay in state, and maybe I got to get back to that.
Absolutely. I think that you have to. And like I said, when Coach Collins came to your door, you knew that, okay, no, I'm not going to look at any other schools. I'm going to Illinois when you saw Jimmy Collins. So, I mean, it has a lot to do with recruiting. And, you know, I know Jarence Howard does a great job down there at U of I, but still, I think we need a little bit more to keep our homegrown talent.
Thanks, Kendall. We appreciate it, buddy.
Keep up the great work.
Okay guys, thanks.